in the surf pig. Okay. With that,
pass. Okay. Yeah, did y'all hear that wave explode just a second ago? That was pretty amazing. So once again, I'm glad y'all are, I'm not looking that way. So I like all these colored clips up here to help us out. That's nice. So how's everybody doing? You know, I'm thankful that the rain is falling when we're not at the beach. We're supposed to get rain again on Thursday and then the following Tuesday or Wednesday. So right now it looks like we're in a good pattern. Hopefully that will hold. I took a day to drive through that whole area where in Malibu where the fires were on, see what was that? The first day it opened on Tuesday. And at a glance, when you go through Malibu, you think, wow, where's the fire? It's amazing how many houses they saved. I talked to a fireman, 57,000 homes in the fire's path didn't burn. I mean, that's amazing, right? But if you go back in there in Point Doom and some of those really lush, pretty areas, there's entire streets on Point Doom just gone, both sides. Just burned out Porsches and Jeeps and, you know, people just ran for their lives. And everything was burnt. I could see people standing there in the rubble, kind of looking around. So those are the people that our heart goes out to, obviously, during the Christmas season. They had all the same plans that we do. Family coming in, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then the bigger picture, all those other things that they lost. So hopefully our small donation will help. I heard that Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers gave $1 million. That would be fun. So how nice to be able to do that, right? But just be praying for those guys, especially it just hit such a tough time as well. It's like compounded. So I did find some empty surf up there on the bright side of things. There's no one out. But that's pretty sad, all that, you know. I was just kind of looking around to see what happened. All right. Well, I spent a month on the Holy Spirit. Did y'all enjoy that? Yeah, have you noticed a difference in your lives? I mean, are you more enthusiastic about that? Are you finding yourself desiring that? Anybody? Raise your hand. Okay, that's a good place to start. Just being in a surrendered place as we sing, "Oh, come to the altar," because His arms are open wide. Come to the altar, bow down before Him, give Him everything. He can handle it. And whatever you need, He can do that. And when we're in a surrendered posture, that's when the Holy Spirit begins to really work in our lives. God says, amen, and fills us. And I need to pray for that right now before I start. Dear Lord, I thank You for Your Holy Spirit. I pray for Your unction, for Your power to preach this word, to preach this message. Pray, Father, that You'll search our hearts, show us what we need to hear, and help us to apply to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, today I thought I'd do a Thanksgiving message. Is that okay? All right. Even though many of us have already started to put up Christmas decorations, it's a good day to give thanks. Every day is a good day to give thanks. Amen, right? So our text today is Psalm 100, roughly in the middle of your Bible. If you'll turn to Psalm 100, let's read that before we start. This is the NASB. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good, His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. So right away, I see in verse 1, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. When I think of all the earth, I'm reminded that everybody at one point is going to kneel before the Lord and say He is Lord. Everyone's going to kneel, whether they know Him or not. So we might as well acknowledge him and get to know him before the end, when we're forced to acknowledge him as Lord. Praise God that we have our eyes open so that we can see the truth, so that we understand that he is for us and not against us. And as a result, in verse 2, we serve him with gladness. We're so grateful. This is a response to his love. We want to get up and serve the Lord. Whatever your gifts are, especially your gifts that he's given you, your spiritual gifts, whether they're giving or showing mercy or showing it, or administrating or preaching or teaching, discipling, whatever it is, when you serve in that, we're exhorted here to serve with gladness. It's like I tell my, you know, the kids, obviously, before they get up to do worship, smile, you know, when you're doing the worship, because sometimes you're just thinking about the words. I understand that. But, you know, and then when we serve with gladness, God actually, he meets us there as we choose joy. You understand that? Choosing joy. Happiness is fleeting. It comes and goes. But joy is like an aquifer underneath the ground that we can tap into anytime when you're a believer. There's always that underground source of joy. And we can choose to drill down there or not, or we can sit on the surface and go, I'm going to work it out on my own and see how that goes, right? And then we get grumpy. But we can choose to serve him with gladness in whatever capacity. And just as we were talking about looking for a home for Bible study, we also need people to help set up right now. We're kind of a one-family show. We're doing the preaching and the worshiping and setting up, but we're not doing the coffee and donuts, praise God. Thank you for that. So if you ever feel God's calling you to help in one of those capacities, if you want to teach, talk to me, do worship. This is not a family business. This is not about nepotism. All are welcome. We just happen to be the ones that are starting it, right? And then come and serve with gladness and enjoy it. Verse 2 says, come before him with joyful singing, just like we did. Come, I mean, why not? We have so much to be thankful for. How many have lived in another country, okay, and had water that didn't work? I mean, you know, you drink the water, you die, right? And then you come home and you just turn the water on the faucet and you're able to get a glass of water. I mean, that alone is something to be thankful for. You know, how many have a toilet seat at their house? Well, I was in a hotel in the Ukraine for 3 months without a toilet seat. It was the nicest hotel in town. I mean, I thank God for toilet seats. It makes things a lot more convenient. I mean, especially when you're trying to balance in the middle of the night, you know? It's like, so, too much information. That's part of being a missionary. By the way, I shared this really cool video on Facebook yesterday, on my Facebook. I don't know what my Facebook is, Ross S. Russell, or whatever, about mission work, and it's really well done, and I'll figure out how to share that with y'all on Gmail. But that's what you deal with, and then you come with joyful singing anyway, because you know that he died for you. He died for us. And then verse 3, know that the Lord himself is God. Know that he is God. This is key. The main thing about the Gospels, especially in the book of John, is that he continues to show himself as God. Any other faith out there, whether it's Islam or Buddhism or Hinduism or Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, they will all attack the deity of Christ. They'll go right for the deity of Christ. The Mormon Bible says in the beginning was a God instead of in the beginning was God. They'll decrease his deity. They don't want Jesus to be God, because if Jesus is God, then we are accountable to him, aren't we? So we have to know that he is the Lord himself, that he's God, and then that he made us and not ourselves. Okay, he made us, not Mother Nature. He made us just as we are. We are the apple of his eye, right? When he opens his wallet, it's one of those wallets that always has your picture on the top when he shows it to the angels. Hey, have you seen, you know, it's got one of those magic wallets. We're the apple of his eye. He loves us. He made it. And we are his people, the people of his pasture. Not, you know that song, have you sung it when you're maybe younger? It says, instead of saying we are the people of his pasture, we sing we are just the sheep. And everybody's like, just the sheep, you know. Have you ever heard that version? Just the sheep. Well, people sing that song and I feel like it diminishes how wonderful we are in His eyes. We're not just the sheep. We are the sheep and we're safe in His pasture and He's looking over us and He's shepherding us and we know His voice, right? And He takes care of us and protects us from the wolves. So, that leads me to verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving. So it goes, now look at your first point in your notes. We need to know that Jesus has made a way for us to enter His courts. And I'm not talking about just coming into church here, okay, or going into a cathedral, entering into those courts. I'm talking about actually coming into His presence, because Jesus had not died for us and paid for our sin, we could not survive in His presence. We would evaporate. We would just, because of our sinful nature. But Jesus has made us a way for us to get into, come into His courts. Turn to Hebrews 9 in your Bibles. In the back of the New Testament. If you read starting in verse 1, I'm going to kind of skip through a few areas in here. It says, there's the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. In the Old Covenant, they had a special way of atoning for our sin and taking care of sin. In the New Covenant, Jesus is the atonement for our sins. In verse 1, it says, now even the first covenant had regulations of divine worship in the earthly sanctuary, for there was a tabernacle prepared. So it goes all through here and describes the tabernacle. And basically, there was this big, if I'm going to make the area here, if you can picture this as a big open area, room for a lot of people. And then out here, there would be a burnt offering out here on the outside and then a place. And they would come in through the gates here. And then they would do an offering right in here. And there was a place to wash your hands right in here. And this whole area right in here was the holy place. So this whole area is like the holy place. And then back in here was the most holy place. And inside the most holy place was the Ark of the Covenant with the Ten Commandments and the staff. And then that was where the mercy seat was. And then there was cherubim above the mercy seat. And so they would give their sin offerings or fellowship offerings or burnt offerings, all their different offerings. And then once a year, Aaron would go in through from the holy place into the most holy place by himself. And they would tie a rope around him with bells on it in case the sin sacrifice didn't satisfy the requirements. Because if the bell stopped jingling, that means he died. So then they would just pull him out with the rope. Because no one else could go in there into His presence. No one else could go into there. But Aaron would go in there. Can you imagine the feeling? Because he's just a normal guy that's been chosen by God. Okay, here we go. Hope it's good. Puts it on the altar. And then when it was right, the Lord would reveal Himself at the mercy seat. And forgiveness was given, atonement was given. And they would all shout and give praise to the Lord and sing joyfully to the Lord and serve Him with gladness because of the atonement. And glory would fill the temple. Jesus entered into this most holy place when He went to the cross. He went in the order of Melchizedek as the high priest and satisfied the requirements because He was a spotless lamb without sin. He had to be without sin. And you'll find a lot of cults and a lot of different teachings around the world will attack Jesus and say, you know, his girlfriend was Mary Magdalene or whatever they can do come up with to show that He was a sinner. Oh, remember He left His parents when He was 12 and He didn't tell them when He was going and started preaching in the temple. Isn't that sin? Well, if you read the scripture, God covers that too, because He said, I must be about my Father's business. So between Him and the Lord, that was not sin. He was obeying His call. And His parents got that. They understood that. So he didn't do any, there was no sin at all. Jesus went into the high, into the most holy place, and when he died on the cross, the veil was torn, representing the fact that now we can go. We can go into the most holy place. That's the miracle. Because our sins have been paid for. That's the miracle. That's why we should be serving Him with gladness and be so grateful. Because we can go into the Holy of Holies right here at His mercy seat every day and find mercy. Isn't that amazing? That they used to have to do this once a year. And it better, you know, and they just prayed it would work. And every moment we can enter in to the courts because of what Jesus did. Look at verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. See, when they went in, it was all about blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for sins. So they would sprinkle blood on the altar and give, it was all about blood. So it was his blood that was shed, that sacrifice paid for our sin. That was the payment that satisfied it. He entered the holy place once for all. He doesn't have to keep going back. Once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Amen. Amen. If that blood from all the bulls and the rams satisfied it in the day of Aaron, how much more Christ, who is the perfect sacrifice, cleanse us so that we can serve him? For this reason, verse 15, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Isn't that good? And then if you look at chapter 10, verses 11 and 12, says, every priest, verse 11, every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. If you look around the world, at National Geographic's world, and you see people making sacrifices, cutting themselves, burning incense, whatever it is, it does not accomplish the goal. It doesn't accomplish it. I've been to Thailand for 3 months. I've been into the temples. I've seen them there. And my heart breaks for them because they're there kneeling and just praying for their family, these mothers, praying for their children and putting incense in and just hoping it's going to help. When Jesus is sufficient and Jesus is all we need. Says in verse 11, every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. By one offering he has perfected all those. All those. In verse 15, and the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them, he then says. Just like I told you, remember when Marilyn Laszlo went to Papua New Guinea and she started telling them about the Ten Commandments, they said, oh, Marilyn, we've known those for a long time. We know, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, right? Because God had written it on their hearts. In verse 17, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. So it's done. Jesus has made a way for us to come into his courts. Isn't that good news? Look at your neighbor and say, that's good stuff. So in your notes, write enter. Jesus has made a way for us to enter his courts. We need a sin offering to come before God. Jesus is that offering. He paid the price for our sin once and for all, the perfect sacrifice, the spotless lamb. Good news is not good without bad news. The bad news is that the wages of sin are death. The good news is that though the wages of sin are death, the gift of God is Jesus Christ. He paid for us so that we can have everlasting life. I was thinking about tabernacles, and it makes me think of the L.A. Coliseum. How many have been to a USC game? Okay, they actually almost won that game last night. And I had to come before his altar this morning and ask for forgiveness because I was trying to watch the game and go to a dinner party. It's not easy. But I've been to the Coliseum, and you'll see those guys in there. It's like a church. I'm not kidding. It's like a church. Like, woo, 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 woo. And I'm totally into it. It's totally fun. Because I'm a Christian, I'm okay. But if that's what's going to hopefully get me into heaven, I'm in bad shape, okay? Because they're like, what's their season this year? Like, 5-7. 5-7. That's not going to get into heaven, okay? But Cowboys have a better record than that. They're 6-5, right? But anyway, you go in there and it's like a big church. People are born to worship. We yearn to worship. We want something to bow down before. If it's not the coolest guy in seventh grade when we're little, then when we're older, it'll be some rock star or it'll be some sports team, right? It's so easy because we're born to worship. And so we have these big venues that are like a big church. And, you know, they put the sword in the middle, you know, to get the service started. And everybody comes in and, you know, it's just really interesting. And it's so easy to get caught up in that and worship football. And I love football. Don't get me wrong. I love it. I grew up in that culture. But I found out a long time ago as a Dallas Cowboy fan that I'm glad I'm not relying on them to get into heaven because I will never get there, okay? And I actually, when I lived in Santa Barbara, I was an intern because I wanted to be in advertising for the reverend of the Church of Monday Night Football. I kid you not. He had an office by State Street, and I would go in there and help him with his books, and he represented all the churches of Monday Night Football across the country, and he was the reverend. I mean, people are born to worship. They will find something to worship. So my question, you know, or maybe it's, my question is, where do you go to worship? Where do you go to bow down, right? What do you lift up? And then once you get in the church, once you get in the stadium, then you get the press pass, right? Or you get the backstage pass at the concert. And all of a sudden you're in the most holy place, right? And now you're around closer to that object of worship, aren't we? And we yearn to get into those special places, don't we? Well, God has given us that yearning to be in that special place with Him. To be in that the best place ever. To yearn for His courts, as we sang, better is one day in His courts than 1,000 elsewhere. So that leads me to point number two. Now, when we come into His courts, it says, enter His courts with praise and thanksgiving. Now, this is interesting because over the years, I've read this verse, I've sung this verse, enter into His courts with praise and thanksgiving. So I'm thinking, okay, so if I praise Him and I give thanks, then I get to go into the Holy of Holies. Is that true? What helps us get into the Holy of Holies? What's the only way? Okay, so what does the verse mean? Well, it means when you go in to meet the Lord, whether it's church or in your quiet time or wherever, come with praise. Come with thanks. That's what Thanksgiving is all about, right? The pilgrims came from England because they wanted freedom to worship in the way they wanted to worship, not like the Church of England was telling them to worship. So they were willing to leave England, come to the United States, and set up their what they thought was a biblical model and have that freedom. And that's what made the United States so amazing as a republic, and has been for the last couple of hundred years, because we allowed people to worship the way they wanted to worship without telling them to worship a certain way. That's theocracy. We set it up. Yeah, you can have any faith you want. Just don't tell me how I have to worship, right? That's the beauty of it. And so they left England so that they would have that freedom. And then God protected them. And that's why they had that day of Thanksgiving that we celebrate and commemorate, because God took care of them in the new land. And praise God for that, because those men and women helped set a foundation that eventually would become the bedrock of a country that's been the most successful in the history of the world that we know of. And that's why people are jumping over the fences to get in here. Right? By the way, you can pray for all those people too that got to the border and thought they could come across, because now they're told they cannot be there. They're not being granted asylum. So where do we go for asylum? Jesus. Right? No matter where we are, we need to go to Him. But pray for those Hondurans. They had a mistaken plan down there at the border, TJ. So it's not what gets us into the courts, but it's how we should come into the courts. Although there is another twist to this, I find that when I praise the Lord and when I'm thankful, it helps me to enter in. See that? So it's really both true. I find that when I switch my playlist to my worship playlist from my cool tracks that are just kind of fun to groove at, and they're Christian music mostly, but then when I go to my Rivers and Robots, the new album by Rivers and Robots, Discovery, is so cool. Just play it, and then all of a sudden you're like, wow, I really feel the Holy Spirit in my car on the freeway. And that just doesn't make sense in the normal, but it's because you're praising God and you're entering in with a singing lyrics of gratitude. Brighter Than the Sun on Discovery is cool. Overflow, it's cool. You got to get that on your Spotify today. That's your homework. Rivers and Robots, God has anointed this guy. I'm telling you, your car will be filled with the Holy Spirit. So when we praise Him and thank Him, we do get to enter in, but we get to enter in because Jesus already went there, right? You see that? He says, come on, man, come in here. This is where it's good, right here, at the mercy seat, at the mercy seat. So, and I love that we were saying, come to the altar, come by faith and be cleansed. He wants to cleanse us at that place. Even though we come with sin, and we all have stuff, it's like, I'm afraid I'm going to get hit by lightning just getting close to this place, right? But God says, no, that conviction of sin is actually drawing you in so that I can cleanse you and sprinkle your conscience clean. It says in Hebrews 10:22, let us come in full assurance of faith into His presence so that He can sprinkle our conscience clean and we'll be free again. Everybody take a deep breath. You know what I'm talking about? Where you just feel that tightness in your chest go? You just feel that forgiveness. Like, Lord, thank you. He takes your shame away. Right here. In the holy place. He says, come. Enter in with praise and thanksgiving. Draw near to Him. He'll draw near to you. We studied that in James 4:8. He wants to cleanse you so that you can serve Him. And then you'll serve Him with gladness, because we have things to do. We have things to do, right? This is a little pep rally. And then when you leave at like 10 o'clock, go do your stuff for Jesus, whatever it is. We have things to do, right? It's either in the water, which would be a good place to go minister right now, or, you know, wherever you're going today. There's plenty of ministry out there. When I was at County Line on this week, I was sitting there waiting for sets, and it was a little bit slow. And so I thought, well, Lord, I might as well witness, right? Why not? So I started talking to these people, and they were totally into science. I don't believe in Christianity because I'm a scientist. I said, really, I teach science, and I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian scientist. So let's talk. It's like, really, how do you do that? Well, actually, the Bible just tells us what happened, so science is discovering more about how it happened. And they shouldn't contradict each other. Right? So let's dig in and find out. Don't be so quick to say it doesn't match. We looked at that in Genesis, didn't we? So we had some really good conversations, and I got one of my best waves after I started to witness. Imagine that. Got a little no-hands air, landed it, came into an off the lip. I'm like, sweet. And they're like, man, that's sick. I'm like, cool, because I just told you about Jesus, you know? I can't believe I said that sick. Is that the first time I said that? I've been trying to avoid that because sick is like a sore stomach, right? But anyway, and then there was these two kids in the bay. I started talking to them, and I looked at them. I said, by the way, do you guys, you know how to get to heaven? They're like, no. I said, well, don't you think that's kind of important, you know, because you're going to die, right? And so I told them, you know, that you need to believe that Jesus died on the cross for you and he paid for your sin. And they looked at me, you know, like dogs look at you and they go, you know, want to go to the beach? And they turned their heads like, what? That is just crazy stuff. They never heard it. I said, but I didn't make this up. And then I got this really killer, like, dry slot right after that. I'm like, man, I got to witness more often. I'm getting some surf now, you know. But God wants to cleanse us and send us out to serve him. And so come into his presence so that we can be ready to live for him. Come into his presence. The bottom line is be thankful that we can enter his courts. Be thankful that we can enter to his courts. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. Better is one day in his courts than a thousand elsewhere. You know what? I told you before, when I lived in Santa Barbara, I went to college there. I had everything paid for by my parents. I didn't have to work. I could do whatever I wanted every day, all day. Let's see, today is at Rincon, Halama, Hammonds. Should I go to class? Should I just hang out with my friends? Maybe go, you know, whatever. And I was unhappy. I was unhappy. I thought something is wrong here because I have everything that I would ever want. And I'm still not content. I still don't have peace. The sunset on Del Playa, another perfect sunset in Isla Vista, was not good enough. I was empty. And my mom always told me, no matter what you do, I'll always love you, and Jesus loves you too. So one day I actually went and looked up a church in the phone book. I thought, what's going on with me? I'm looking up a church in the Yellow Pages. Remember the Yellow Pages? Kids, we used to have these books with all these pages in it, and the White Pages had everybody's phone numbers, and the Yellow Pages had all the local businesses. So how long ago was that anyway? But the point is, it was one day with him has been better than all those other days. All those other days chasing happiness, going through relationships and all those things. It did not satisfy. It didn't work. And then I had one day in his presence when I first met the Lord and sensed his presence and his love for me. And I thought, I will never, ever go back. I will never leave this. And look at me now. I'm preaching. It's pretty funny. Because I was the one that needed to be preached at for a long time. It's a miracle. So, we need to yearn for his courts, right? If we yearn for his courts, he'll match us there. Look at Psalm 84:2. Psalm 84:2. My soul, well, verse 1. How lovely are your dwelling places, where God is, right? How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for the joy of the living God. That's where we need to be. And then when you go to Yosemite, and then when you go to Isla Vista, and you're standing there worshiping, by the way, there's a really good worship band from Isla Vista right now. And the best song is Dancing on the Moon or something like that. What's the name of that band?
Isla Vista Worship.
Isla Vista Worship. So some people are getting saved up there in the middle of all that. So when you go there and you're full of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, then you have a whole new appreciation for El Cap and for Half Dome and for the sunset. It just makes life just exponentially more wonderful because you are worshiping the one who made it. Wow, God, good job. Nice job with the airbrush. Woo, you know? Different every time. Wow, look at that snowflake on the chairlift. Oh, my Lord, that is so cool. Look at that one. And they're all different. You know how you look at the snowflakes on your glove on those long chairlift rides when it's cold? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Anyway, so for those of you that snowboard and ski. So Philippians 4, 4 through 6 says, rejoice. Rejoice in Him. Praise Him. Thank Him. And you will enter in. If we can shout for USC being ahead of Notre Dame 10-7 at halftime, which I shouted quietly because I was at a dinner party, I'm like, yes, with my phone in my lap. Yes. So busted. Anyway, but if we could shout for that and lose our voice, which we've done at the games, why not shout for the Lord? Rejoice for the Lord with thanksgiving. Amen? This leads me to my third point, which takes us back to the Old Testament stuff. Praising God can be accompanied by His glorious presence. If you look at 2 Chronicles 5, 2 Chronicles 5, it's after Kings, on page 300, what is that? You have to really dig in the Old Testament to find this one. If you have to use a table of contents, that's okay. They brought the ark into the temple. Solomon had been working on the temple. They brought the ark in. They set everything up. And it says in verse 11, when the priest came forth from the holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without regard to divisions, and all the Levitical singers, get that, singers, to praise, right? Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and their sons and kinsmen, clothed in fine linen, with cymbals, harps, and lyres, standing east of the altar, and with them 120 priests blowing trumpets. 120 trumpets. I mean, this is huge worship, right? And they all had to play together. How'd they do that and sound good? Well, that takes practice, right? It says, in unison, when the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to praise and to glorify the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice, accompanied by the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and when they praised the Lord, saying, He indeed is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting, then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. They just fell down. There's moves of the Holy Spirit where people actually fall down. Now, it gets mixed up with moves that are counterfeit, so it gets a little tricky. But when the presence of the Lord comes, these guys actually could not stand, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. And it all happened because of praise. God loves to be praised. He loves to be praised. Psalm 16:11, which is what Acts 2:28 refers back to. Once you get into that place and you're praising, it says, Lord, You will make known to me the path of life, and Your presence is fullness of joy. In Your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. When you get into that place, there's nothing but joy. And I told y'all about our worship in Mexico when we were down there, how we sang the Revelation song, and that whole church in Primo Tapia was just this resounding chorus of praise the Lord and people just clapping spontaneously and weeping and shouting. It was undeniable. His presence was undeniable. If you walked in there as an unbeliever, you would be amazed that something like that was happening. There must be a spiritual part of the world and not just physical, right? That's what they would say. Now, that's corporately. There's also personally. That leads me to point number four. Praising the Lord will quicken, the word there is quicken, the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4:29, remember, go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, or General Electric Power Company, if you like that better. So Ephesians 4:29 says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so it will give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. So we can actually quench the Spirit by being bitter, by speaking negatively, by going the wrong direction, having stinking thinking, and quench the Spirit. The opposite side of that is we can be filled with the Spirit, and we can enter into His courts, right, being close to Him, by being thankful and singing. Look at chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. Actually, let's start with 15. Why not? Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. By the way, that's why I talk to people a lot, because that's scripture right there. The days are evil. We need to talk to people. Make the most of it. Verse 17. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, which would quench the Spirit, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. How? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. How do we get filled with the Spirit? By speaking scripture. Right now our kids are memorizing scripture in our house. And by the way, I think they finished all of them, right? Almost? Three more passages, right? So, so it really helps our household to hear the scripture. And then singing in your car, like I said, or singing in the shower, sing scripture. And you'll find yourself, as you're talking about the Lord, and I sense it even now when I'm preaching, when you're talking about the Lord, you feel the Holy Spirit quickened in you. Because the Spirit of God lives in us. That's what it means, receive Jesus into your heart. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and He glows. He grows. It becomes more evident that He's in your life as you speak His word, as you encourage each other, as you praise Him, as you're thankful. It's remarkable the difference. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Right? So why don't we do that more often? Right? So let's do that more often. So right now, what I want you to do is think about what you're thankful for and write it down in your notes. Just make a little list, like 10 things. Write down 10 things that you're thankful for. If you can't think of 10, start with 5. I gave you some hints, toilet seat, running water, drinking water, stop signs that people stop at. Not every person, parts of the world have traffic lights. So write that down in your notes, just what you're thankful for. Jot a few things down. You can start with a person sitting next to you, thankful for them. I'll give you about one more minute. Okay, now we're going to try something different. Y'all feeling courageous a little bit? I want everybody to stand up where you are. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to create a resounding sound of thankfulness. We're going to create a resounding sound of thankfulness. People in the parking lot are going to say, what are they doing down there now? But I believe this is what the Lord would want. So everybody just at one time, just tell the Lord what you're thankful for when I say go. Everybody understand their instructions? You're just going to shout out what you're thankful for. Just say it out loud. No, just start saying things on your list out loud. Okay? It doesn't have to be like... All right. Ready, set, go. Thank you, Lord. I thank you so much for my family. I thank you for my home. I thank you, Father, for food and clothes to wear. I thank you, Lord, for eternal life. I thank you for giving us forgiveness, for cleansing our sins, dear God. We worship you. Thank you for health. We thank you, Lord, that we have a roof over our heads. We thank you, Lord, for the money that we have to pay for things. We thank you, Lord, for our good eyes and good ears. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for Jesus. Does that feel good? Okay, now, does anybody have a scripture that they would like to say for the church that they feel like the Lord's put on their heart to encourage us? Say it out loud so we can hear. Mary, you had one? Just a scripture that's on your heart. Anybody? Anybody, you can read it. You can use your cheat sheet, the Bible. Okay, well, good. Yes?
Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will lift you up.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? All right. Well, think of a scripture today that you want to meditate on and help that encourage you. That's one way of speaking Psalms to one another, is just have a verse in mind and let that encourage you. Just pray for a verse. Now, I just want to make sure everybody knows Jesus. So let's all bow our heads while we're standing. Close your eyes. Now, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody can come to the Father but through me. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Open the door and let me in, and I would like to sup with you. I would like to fellowship with you. If you've never made a decision for Jesus, raise your hand, and I want to pray for you to receive him into your heart. Okay, let's go ahead and rehearse the prayer in case somebody's within earshot and doesn't know what to pray. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for making a way for us to be near God, to go to the holy place. Thank you for forgiving my sins, for paying for all my sins with your blood. I believe you rose from the dead, so I believe what you said. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to love people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's give the Lord a big clap as the worship team comes up. Now today, play it forward, right? Find somebody today to encourage with God's truth. And pray for something to say that's not immediately offensive, so you can kind of bring them to a place of receiving it. Wherever you are, you just never know. Someone in this season of Thanksgiving and Christmas is going to be sitting near you in a waiting room or be near you in a grocery store, and they're hurting. And they just need someone to say, you know what, somebody loves you. And he died for you. And can I pray for you? Simple as that, right? Let's worship him with gladness and practice what we've been learning about, shall we?